light on the, there we go. It's hard to see the light when you've got it in your pocket. Grace to you and peace from God, our Redeemer, and our bread of life, Christ Jesus. Amen. Good morning, St. John's. Can you believe that this is the last Sunday of Lent? Next week, we follow Jesus into Jerusalem for Palm Sunday and remember his journey to the cross. Where's the time gone, right? I mean, it feels like just last week we were marking ashes on our forehead to remember that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. As we prepare ourselves, our hearts and our spirits for Holy Week, I invite you to consider how your relationship with God has changed or expanded this Lenten season. What practices did you implement in your daily routine? Did you become more aware of anything over the last month? Were you more intentional with your time or resources? Did you listen to Father Kevin's Worst Jokes of 2022 album as a method of spiritual purgatory? It is a great aid in repenting sin if you haven't had a chance to try it yet. I really recommend it. Over the course of this Lenten season, we've been digging into the ways of a disciple, a follower of Christ. So who here remembers the tagline we've been using to describe discipleship? And I did mention it in our children's sermon. I am looking for raised hands. I don't think that you count, Father Kevin. Does anybody remember the tagline that we've been using most every week? It's okay if not. You can also just shout it out if you know it. No? Okay. Father Kevin, what is it?
A disciple is an intentional Christian.
Hey, there we are. So thank you, Father Kevin. We didn't quite pass the Lenten quiz with flying colors just yet, but I'm sure that you'll have it by the end of this sermon. So I'm hoping that that counts for something, and that maybe I can be off the hook for my writing assignment for the end of the semester. Yeah? So a disciple is an intentional Christian. Today, I am going to tell you the secrets to becoming not just an intentional disciple, but a deliberate disciple. Honestly, you probably already know what I'm going to tell you, though you might not have thought of it as a secret to discipleship. It's something you've seen and experienced over and over. It's one of those secrets hidden in plain sight, one of those secrets that can trouble the soul, so we often close our eyes to it. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So, there you have it. Now you know. That's the secret to deliberate discipleship. Shortest sermon ever, right? Cool. Let's go to the Nicene Creed. Okay, I'll explain. The verse we just heard defines the pattern of loss and renewal that runs throughout our lives and our world. Even if you've never thought of this as the secret to following Jesus, you've lived and experienced it, sometimes by choice, and other times by chance. Either way, it's there. Look at the way this pattern is present in your life. Have you ever fallen in love and committed your life to another person? And if so, you had to let parts of your old life go. Something of your single life died so that you could be with that person. Or how about parenting? If you're a parent, you know that there are sacrifices of yourself and your life to be made in order for the new life in your child to emerge and grow. We give up parts of ourselves for another. Parents are continually letting go of their child so she or he can grow up. Have you ever been the caretaker of another? And pets do count here. Because if you have to give that pet time and resource that originally would have been used somewhere else, I can think that if you sat with this thought, You would name parts of your life that have died so that another might live with dignity, compassion, and love. What are the costs, the losses you paid for an education or career? You chose certain losses to let go of some things so that other things could rise. For every choice we make, every yes we say, there is at least one no, and probably many. The same pattern is in nature. You can see it in the changing of the seasons, falling leaves and new blooms, and the setting and rising of the sun. Think about the scriptural stories of loss and renewal. Innocence in Adam and Eve died so that consciousness might be born. Abram left his country and kindred so that he might be made a great nation, named Abraham, and be a blessing to all of the families on earth. Jacob lost his old identity and was wounded so that he could become a new man, Israel, with a new life. James and John left their father's boats and nets and became disciples of Jesus and fishers of people. Jesus taught his disciples, the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. So the secret is out. It's everywhere. It is a pattern of loss and renewal, dying and rising, letting go and getting back, leaving and returning. It is the core of our baptism, and it is what we declare every Sunday in the liturgy of the Eucharist. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. So what in your life are you being pulled to let go of? What might you need to leave behind? What, either in you or around you, needs to die so that something new can arise? I don't think it's a coincidence that today's gospel is set in the context of the Passover feast. I mean, remember what that's about? The Passover is the celebration of the Israelites' liberation from bondage in Egypt. It's about freedom and new life. It's about letting go, leaving behind, and moving into a new life. There's something about this pattern, that this is the lens through which we see Jesus. In our lesson, the opening line states that some Greeks come to Philip and say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." We don't know why they want to see Jesus, but I have a few guesses. Jesus turned water into wine. He cleansed the temple. He healed the son of a royal official. He healed a paralytic. He fed 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. He walked on water. He gave sight to a man born blind. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Me too. That's the Jesus I want to see. Don't you? Philip tells Andrew about the Greeks and their requests, and then Philip and Andrew then tell Jesus. And Jesus says to them, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." That's his response to those who want to see him, to the Greeks, to you, to me. And what we have to remember here is that dying in this parable is more than just about our physical death. Yes, that is part of it, but it's also more than that. We die 1,000 deaths throughout our lifetime. The loss of a loved one, a relationship, health, opportunities, a dream, all deaths we didn't want or ask for. Other times, we choose our losses and deaths. We give up parts of ourselves for another, We change our beliefs and values so that we can be more authentically ourselves. And sometimes there are things we just need to let go of, things we cling to that deny us the fullness of life we want and God offers. Fear, anger or resentment, regret or disappointment, guilt, the need to be right, pride, approval. Seeing Jesus isn't a spectator sport. It is a way to be followed, a truth to be embodied. It is a life to be lived. It's being a grain of wheat that falls into the ground and dies so that it might bear much fruit. That's where we see him. It's the letting go, the emptying, the leaving behind, and the dying that makes new space for life to arise, that makes space for Jesus in our lives. You've probably had at least one time in your life that when you look back on it, you say, I never want to go through that again, but I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. What is that time for you? What happened? As difficult or painful as that experience was, it bore much fruit. You were changed, and your life was renewed. It was one of those times when you were the grain of wheat that fell into the earth and died. And I'll bet it was one of those times when you knew you had seen Jesus, when you had experienced the Holy, when you were absolutely convinced that God was present and working in your life. Letting go, however, does not mean rejection or walking away. And it does not mean choosing absence over presence. Instead, letting go is what allows us to be more authentically present to ourselves and to one another. It makes room for new life and new ways of being present to arise. Our letting go gives God room with which to work. Why then would we continue to cling to live as an isolated, self-enclosed, single grain of wheat? This is the troubling secret to life, to discipleship. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So what is the grain of wheat in your life today that needs to fall into the earth and die? What are the things that if you lost them, you're sure that you would just die? Maybe those are the very places waiting to bear fruit in your life. Maybe that is where you will see Jesus. This secret, this pattern of loss and renewal, will be unveiled every day throughout Holy Week next week. And I think that's why we hear this text today, a week before Palm Sunday. This is our preparation for Holy Week. And you know where this Holy Week ends, right? At Easter, an empty tomb, the dawn of a new day, and the renewal of life. The single grain has become the bread of life. But you also know that you don't plant a seed and go back in 10 minutes or the next day and see a new sprout. Growth can be slow, and the fruit of new life takes time, usually longer than you want it to. So I encourage you in this time and space to wait, to rest in the knowledge of a loving, grace-filled God. Because even when unseen, unbelieved, or unrecognized, the power and life of God are deliberately present and at work in the depths of our souls, in the dark and hidden places. And that is the mystery and beauty of being an intentional disciple of Christ. Amen.
Amen.